We're going to have three, maybe three and a half categories before we get the hell out of here of our annual freakies. And we're going to kick it off. I figured, you know, I was trying to get creative with some award show music or maybe some instrumental that might get us a little. I'd
like to thank the Freakin' Academy.
Just the old NFL films.
Oh.
Theme song. Come on, man. I mean, it's time for us to get serious and talk about the freakies. That's what people wait for all year, Crasher. Mm-hmm.
You know what? You are right. You are absolutely right. So kick it off, Sarge. Which category would you like to start with?
We'll start off with Driver Rider of the Year, which, by the way, Gary Selzy, NHRA champion, multi times over. He'll be here in the Freak Nation at 10 after the hour. And then Marlon Wayans, comedian, actor, joins us next hour as well. So let's start off with Driver Rider of the Year. Crasher, you want to kick it off?
Mr. Consistency, when I give the other nickname, you guys will totally know who it is. Iceman, you know who it is.
Scotty D.
Yep, Scott Dixon won his fifth title, vaulted himself up on some lists by Mario Andretti, AJ Foyt. His name is in. He is already a legendary IndyCar driver, took home the IndyCar championship this year because of his consistency. It's him. It's Scott Dixon. Plus, he's got a really hot wife and two cool kids. It's Scott Dixon. Oh, and he had a movie come out about him this year as well. He is the driver of the year.
Yeah, curious stat. She's got a point there where, let's say, 30, 40 years from now, we always would refer to, you know, Mario Andretti, Johnny Rutherford, you go Foyt, the Unsers. I mean, do you think kids, you know, 10-year-old kids will be referring to Scott Dixon like an Andretti or a Rutherford or a Foyt?
Heavens no.
No, he's come from Statman.
Statman.
No.
He's only the second driver to ever get five titles in IndyCar. And the first guy to do it since AJ Foyt did it, which is what? However many, 30-some, 40-some odd years ago?
They're going to name a game after Sebastian. You want to talk consistency. Sebastian Ogier is six champions, World Rally Championships in a row consecutively, one right after the other. Yeah.
Is he one of the OJs? OJs?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He was the OJ that was in the background. He was the business manager OJ.
Is he your driver of the year?
No, as a matter of fact, he's not.
Who would yours be, Statman, for your freaky?
Lewis Carl Davidson Hamilton.
Haven't you put him in something every year even before he was born? I think it was 18 years ago. He said,
this is the second year in a row. He's the member of the most excellent order of the British Empire. His fifth championship, seven wins in 2018. Only the third driver to have won five titles or more in Formula One. Came back from Sebastian Vettel, was beating him in the championship. And came back and won it going away.
Did you not say last week or week before when he did, when they ended the season with Formula One, that you believe he is the greatest Formula One driver or will come out as being the greatest Formula One driver ever?
I think he will come out to be that. He's not now. I mean, as long as Schumacher has got seven championships.
Well, there was something there that you ramped up into, like, yeah, he's on his way to beat out Schumacher. He's just got to clinch those other titles.
As long as he's got two more, he's got to get two more titles. He's got two more years with Mercedes in his current contract. So chances are he will get those championships. Ferrari started off so strong this year, but fizzled when Vettel cracked under the pressure. So, yeah, I think he'll get seven.
So what the heck does Scott Dixon have to do? He's only the second guy in IndyCar to go with five titles, AJ Foyt being the only other one. Does he have to win a sixth in order to be the greatest driver ever in IndyCar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact.
So you still put AJ Foyt and Mario Andretti up there as your tops?
Oh, in IndyCar? Well, Mario in particular, because they drove everything. I mean, Mario drove dirt track cars and sprint cars. Yeah. And
I wish they could still do that today.
Yeah, won the Daytona 500, won the Formula One World Driving Championship. Yeah,
yeah,
Mario might be one of the top five globally in history.
He was the driver of the century last year. Or, excuse me, last century. Yeah. The 1900s-ish. All right, Kenny, you go. Driver of the year. Go.
And you guys, I'm ashamed of you guys.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. R.C. No?
No.
Okay, go.
R.C. Rico Calendella?
That'd be no. Rico Suave.
Listen. Drive a 330-mile-an-hour dragster.
See, I knew you would.
1,000 feet. That takes nothing.
Oh.
Nothing.
Oh, my God. Okay. Hi, G-forces in your neck. Hi, eyeballs popping out of your sockets.
This could have gone freak of the year or driver rider of the year. So I put Ken Roczen at driver rider of the year. If you look at what this dude did.
Supercross.
2017 Supercross. Anaheim 1, I believe it was. Just destroyed his arm in a crash.
Oh, 11. That's right. God, how soon we forget.
Yep. 11 surgeries to get back on a motorcycle. And
that
he does.
That's freakish. That's freakish. Yeah.
Of all things, I mean, your arm, you know, you stad crash, you know the importance of the upper body strength that you need for a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
So here's this dude, 11 surgeries, and he ends up back in Anaheim in 2018. The first Anaheim, he was bitching and moaning about a top 10 finish. Well, a lot of folks didn't think he'd ever be back on a bike. He got him a ninth place spot there. Then, and he was working his way to a victory for the 2018 Supercross season. And he and Cooper Webb, I didn't know there was a big beef until I started reading about this. Cooper Webb, they were tossing a lot of smack at each other on social media. And lo and behold, here comes Oakland, Ken Roczen working his way to the front. And what happens again? Well, gets thrown off the bike. And in the very next corner, as he's getting thrown off the bike, he lands with his hands right there in the spokes of Cooper Webb. Yep. Yes.
Okay.
There were bones in his hand that were in other places of his hand. I mean, it was just gnarly. But the big deal about this for me is he works his way back from that hand injury to kick off the Lucas Oil outdoor season.
Which is just a couple of weeks later.
A few weeks later.
Whoa.
And when we had him on the show, Crasher, this year, we talked about the injury in his hand.
Midway through Supercross season. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Huh. But he's got what I like about this dude is he knows how to have fun with it. He's got a freaking T-Rex logo or patch on his pants for his short arms. So, yeah, Ken Roczen is my rider driver of the year. Not because of any special win or sponsor.
That's full on freak of the year.
Yeah, I know it. Damn it.
But no, it qualifies as rider of the year as well. So, ooh, wow. God, how we forget.
Let's move on to race of the year.
Okay.
We got time for that. We got 7 minutes.
Okay. Race of the year.
My favorite race of the year, Charlotte Roval.
Ah!
Is that what you had?
Yes.
There were hundreds of races this year, and there were probably five that I made sure that I was there to watch them. Indy 500, Daytona 500, and the Roval was the other one. I was the doom and gloom that was surfacing before this race, the accidents in practice. Oh, there's no way these guys are going to make it through turn one. Holy smokes. All these we pull our drawers down and take a big stinky one on NASCAR from time to time. Just to,
whoa!
It just shows you how good these drivers are to be able to make it through that turn one. And there wasn't a whole lot of drama, at least gnarly drama, for the role in and of itself, but there was passing.
Not till the end. At the end, there was all sorts of drama.
And then that, of course, and that's what was the greatness about it. I don't know if I would have loaded this in there if it wasn't Jimmy Johnson that tried to punt Truex out of the way or punted Truex out of the way. So for me, it was the Charlotte Roval, the best race of the year. Appointment television for me, and it did not disappoint. Statman, your best race of the year?
Well, I have a different reason for the Spa 6-hour, the World Endurance Championship. It's because a friend of mine, one of only two Americans in the Ford program, Billy Johnson, was on board one of the Fords, number 66, making the pass of the race, turning it over in the first place to get the win. Originally from Southern California, I've known this kid since he was a pimply-faced kid racing in Coney Challenge. I love what he did. I love what he's doing with Ford. He helped design the car, helped develop the race car. He's the reason why the Spa 6-hour finished on the podium. He's the reason why the Spa 6-hour is my race of the year.
Either we've had him in the Freak Nation a few times, or recently, did you do a Statman Scat on him?
Yeah, every year. He was leading the points in the WEC GT drivers at one time, and he was just a backup driver in the Ganassi program. He drives the 66 car, and that doesn't race in all the races in IMSA.
The name is just, it's fresh, as if there was a Statman Scat out there.
The best part about Billy, quickly, is that he was finished with his racing. He was away from the track, the Daytona 24-hour, maybe 5 years ago. An owner called him back and put him in the car his driver got sick. He called him back to the racetrack, put him in the car, tried to slow him down, and Billy said, what are you talking about? I thought I was going slow already, and he was the fastest driver on the team.
Hold on, Statman. Didn't we have him on the show at Daytona? This is just too fresh.
Probably.
Billy, was he a Ford test pilot or test?
Yeah. He's a Multimatic factory driver for Multimatic.
Yeah.
That's why it sounds so fresh.
Okay. Yeah. No, I love the guy. Right. I love the guy. All right.
Crasher?
Race of the year?
Yep, you got 3.5 minutes.
You're making it sound like I'm going to use all 3.5. No, come on. I mean,
Statman just used 17.
I'm the IndyCar homer on the show, obviously, but I did pick the Bank of America Roval, the NASCAR road course in the Chase. That was my race of the year until you picked it, Kenny, so I had to kind of go into my backups, which were the Austin Grand Prix, because holy crap, U.S. Grand Prix, I should call it, Formula One, that just, oof. I mean, Lewis Hamilton was never really out of it, but that one wasn't too nice to him. And then what maybe possibly solidified Scott Dixon as the IndyCar champion, the Portland Grand Prix. Melee on the first lap, including Scott Dixon, stuck in the dirt. How he came out of that crash fest with not a scratch on the car is just bonkers. And he was able to salvage a fifth place out of that race. He got lucky towards the end of the race when there was another crash, and he was able to stay out while all the leaders pit. But yeah, fifth place and finishing, at least two spots ahead of Rossi is what basically helped solidify the title for him. That race was nuts. Portland, welcome back. Welcome back to the IndyCar schedule.
Did they sign a multi-year deal?
Yes, they're.
Because that
they're
was a fun
yeah,
race to
yeah,
watch.
They're definitely going to be back next year and many more years to come. That was always a fun race, in my opinion.
How in the hell does Portland get thousands upon thousands upon thousands and thousands of fans, and Phoenix can't?
Very good question. Very, very good question. It makes no common sense whatsoever.
We ask you this, Freak Nation. Who is your freak of the year? Who is your freak of the year when it comes to motorsports? We say, hey, man, just has to have some type of indirect connection to motorsports. It could be full-fledged, knee-deep into motorsports, or something that had a significant part in motorsports for the 2018 season. So let's go back to when I think of motorsports and the depth of the coverage that we provide, I think of NFL films. Yes, I do.
We've done these awards for now 18 years. Mm-hmm. Never had music underneath us. You just felt we need to kind of award these awards up. I don't get it.
The significance of these awards, it's not lost on me, Crash. You have to, frankly, just get it done. And that's why I'm using this music.
All right.
All right, so we're going to go with Freak of the Year. And I'll go ahead and kick this one off. Crasher was alluding to it, but with the wrong name at the time.
Oh, stop it! You're picking mine again!
What?
Yes! Well, mine's different. But
the fact that this dude went undefeated in final rounds, won a career best 11 times. No.
Wait a minute.
Did we all pick him?
Really?
Come on. We can't all do the same guy. We didn't compare notes on this, and we all ended up at the same place.
Okay.
He must be the freak.
Picking the driver. Yeah, but I'm not picking the driver.
You picking his dad?
No.
Team?
Just go. Just go with your Steve Torrance bad self.
Wow. All right. Well, hell. Undefeated in final rounds 11 times. He won, swept the NHRA countdown to the championship, won the Top Fuel championship. His name is Steve Torrance. And if these numbers are correct, did he pass the likes of Gary Selzy, Shirley Muldowney, Dick LaHaye, which, rest in peace, my friend?
Oh, right. That was horrible news. I just saw that this week. Oh,
Statman, did you see this? Does Steve Torrance have 27 Top Fuel wins?
Yeah, I mean, he won every race in the NHRA playoffs. No one will ever break that record. They could tie him, but no one will ever break it. He can't do better than winning every race.
27. If it's 27 Top Fuel wins, he's passed Gary Selzy. Some other names of significance: Brandon Bernstein, Shirley Muldowney, Scott Coletta, Dick LaHaye, Don Perdome.
Whoa!
What?
And he wasn't even a full-time driver for many years until the last two or three.
I'm on NHRA's website. Most career Top Fuel wins. Yeah. They don't even have him on here. They don't have Steve Torrance on here. But in his record-setting year, they said he's won a total of 27 races. Update your site, NHRA.
Well, think about it. 6 came in the countdown.
And 11.
Maple Grove. Okay, so that's Pennsylvania. Gateway in St. Louis. Texas, which is Dallas. The Charlotte Z-Max Dragway, then Vegas, then Pomona. He won all of those undefeated, like you guys were both alluding to. Never lost a round. 24 rounds straight on race day. Never lost. Yeah, insane. So, yeah, 6 race wins out of that 27 is right there at the end of the season.
That is bonkers. What can you add to that, Statman?
I'm told the team, we were talking about their little team, but I'm told the team actually helps some of the smaller programs in the paddock by making parts available for free or at cheap, deep discounts. We've learned through the year that Capco is a major oil field contractor. So we thought it was just a little developer doing kitchens in the house in the back, but no, they're a major oil field developer and they make millions and millions and they help other programs. So yeah, that's freak stuff to not only win, but help people along the way.
Yeah, that's good point.
Yeah, here it is. Career wins 31, top alcohol dragster 4, top fuel 27. It's like Statman said, you're beating the likes of Don Schumacher Racing, John Force Racing, Coletta Motorsports.
The big dogs, yeah. Period.
Man.
Okay, so arguably, of course, we're talking about Steve Torrance and the incredible end of season that he had, being undefeated in NHRA's playoffs, known as the countdown. Kenny picked Steve Torrance, the driver himself. Statman, are you kind of going with the team, saying that they're freak because of what they did with him and then also helping other teams in the series?
Well, I'm going with Steve Torrance, but I'm also including the team in that because the team put the car together. And in drag racing, more than in any other motorsport, that the crew chief has a part to play in the how the car performs on the track.
And that's where I was going to go, was with the inanimate object of the motor, because they learned from their mistakes. When Brittany Force took the title in 2017, they had a couple of engine failures. They learned their mistakes from that season, and they had their backup motor absolutely ready to go just in case this entire season, but they even beefed it up for the playoffs. And just knowing that alone, I mean, that motor, holy wow. They were ready this year. They learned. They were ready. And, yeah, that motor was freak. So all aspects of that team, freak.
Do you have any inclination to if they went through a number of engines?
This year, no, because they learned from 2017. Right. Yeah, just freak. Just freak. The team, the crew chief, Steve himself, the engine, the everybody, his dad for even having starting the team. Oh. Yeah. Wow.
There you go, Steve Torrance. Look at that, man. All three of us picking Steve Torrance, NHR Top Fuel champion, 27 Top Fuel wins. Holy smokes. How does that happen? Well, we just found out. We just spent 5 damn minutes talking about it.
Hold on.
Not much. What?
No.
Oh, we got to get Statman's story of the year?
Yes. I'm dying to know Statman's freaky award for story of the year.
No. All right, Statman, go ahead.
Jeez, the story of the year is sponsor money taking bigger impact on the sport. And, you know, with rallycross shrinking, I talked about that in the scat. But IMSA now is saying that they're going to drop they're going to support LMP2, but they're dropping the races from 10 to 8, including Long Beach and Detroit. Oh. In Detroit, there'll be no LMP2 classes there. And the biggest was the NHRA Pro Stock, cutting races from 24 to 18. That's a 25% reduction. And they're saying that it's an effort to get more teams, to make it easier for the teams. There's the sponsor money is they're not talking about it directly, but sponsor money is having a bigger impact on the sport than I think it ever has in this, you know, this downsizing of the motorsport budgets.
Goes back to NASCAR and what we were talking about not too long ago, I believe it was this hour, in that they've got to consider shortening the season. Because again, yeah, sponsor money there, it's very rare. I'm trying to think if anybody has a full season sponsorship without any special races coming on with the different sponsor on the hood. Does any driver have a full season sponsorship by just one company? I don't believe so.
In NASCAR.
NASCAR's got to shorten that season.
I mean, look what happened to Jimmy Johnson with Lowe's leaving.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem that NASCAR has is that they sell all these races to networks. The networks plan, let's say out of 36 races, they plan on having 36 spots. And you can't cut that back to 30 spots without somebody saying, hey, I got to have a chance to get my money back. So they're kind of...
So it's been pre-sold. I got you now.
Yeah, they're in a rock and a hard place. Nobody wants all these races. Nobody can afford to go to all these races. But the networks say, you're not cutting back because you sold me 36 spots, and I want 36 spots. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you rerun the races. You got to get me 36 spots.
Yeah, looking at the agreements with Fox and NBC, you look at the kind of money that these groups are paying NASCAR. For 2015 through 2024, Fox and NBC.
Oh, that's how long we have the TV contracts for? 2024? So potentially the season cannot be reduced until after 2024?
Unless there's a renegotiation of the contracts. Yeah. I mean, you've got to sit down and talk about how do we renegotiate this thing.
NASCAR and the Fox Sports Media Group announced a new $2.4 billion 8-year deal, a 30% increase from previous deal. On the 23rd of 2013, of July 2013, NASCAR and NBC Sports Group announced a $4.8 billion 10-year deal.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa. Yeah, that's going to have to be renegotiated.
Holy smokes, that's a lot of blow, man. Whoa. Man, just think about it. It's that kind of money? Even in 2013, it wasn't even close to 2006, 2007 and the popularity of NASCAR. But they were still dishing up that kind of blow. Oh, my gosh.
Which says something about the intelligence of the people in the front offices of some of those networks. But there's a you've got to have content. NBC, you've got NBC Sports, you've got all these networks that you've got to have content for, and that's what they're buying. In addition to the race itself, they're buying all these extra shows and garage shows and panel shows and all of this stuff that has to do with filling up time. You got to have something to fill up 24 hours of programming.